I wonder if you have something at home that plays one of these. What is it I've got here? Can you see? Well, take it out. It's a video. Has anybody got a video player still at home? One or two, but not many. Ah, jinx, this used to be cutting edge technology too. Yeah, it's a video. Well, Elizabeth and I, our family, we love watching films, and we've got, we've given away an awful lot to charity shops now. We've had a lot of videos and got some DVDs as well. I expect DVDs are probably more common these days, or Blu-ray discs even. But at our house, we sometimes love to watch movies. And it's amazing how much movies, films, affect our daily lives. They affect the clothes we wear, they affect sometimes the music we listen to. Even the way we talk is often influenced by movies, by films. There was a movie website, myfilm.com, and it asked 2,000 people, what famous phrase from the movies do you use most often in conversation? Well, I've brought along some examples of these phrases. Let's see if you can guess what the phrases are. Let's look at the first phrase from the movie Picture. What film is that? Forrest Gump. And what might be the phrase from Forrest Gump that people use in everyday speech these days? Who thinks they know? Put your hand up if you think you know. Just one. Oh, this is the most popular one. You guys watch the wrong films. Let's see. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know quite what you're going to get. Life is like a box of chocolates. Excellent. Well, you didn't know Forrest Gump. Let's see if you know the next one. Let's get the next picture up. Now, I wonder if you can see who this is. The projector's not working very well today, so it's a wee bit blurry. But who is it? Who do you think it is? Star Trek. Star Trek, that's right. And there have been lots of Star Trek films. Now, I wonder if you know what phrase, what saying from Star Trek many people use in everyday speech. What do you think? Could be live long and prosper. What Spock says is something that's attributed to Captain Kirk rather than Spock. Well, let's see. Beam me up, Scotty. I don't think he ever said that, but that's a phrase that lots of people say, beam me up, Scotty. Right, here's another one. Phrase from the movies. Let's see. Oh, we know this one. What phrase do you think people might use from... What film is it, first of all, shout out?
Star Wars.
What phrase do you think they use from Star Wars? Oh, may the force be with you. Let's see. May the force be with you. Very good. Very good. I'm surprised that you didn't know Forrest Gump. You all need to go out to video rental stores and rent Forrest Gump. It's a great film. But may the force be with you. All these phrases. Life is like a box of chocolates. Beam me up, Scotty. May the force be with you. But do you know the number one phrase? The number one phrase that people said they used most often in everyday conversation. I wonder if anyone can guess what the number one was. Let's have a couple of guesses and then we'll see. And? Nope. Any more guesses? Yep. I'll be back. No more guesses. Gosh, you're a quiet lot this morning. Let's see what film it was. It was The Terminator, and it was the phrase, I'll be back. I'll be back. I hope you've not watched The Terminator. You guys are too young. I'll be back. Yeah, I'll be back. Well, I was thinking about this phrase, I'll be back. And this is the start of the season of Lent, the time when we look forward to Easter. And today churches are thinking about Jesus being led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And during that time, he ate nothing and he was very tired and very hungry. And the devil came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus answered, no, the scripture says, God's word says, people do not live by bread alone. Turn to God's word. And next the devil took Jesus up and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I will give you all of these kingdoms that you see and all authority over them if you will worship me. And Jesus replied, the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and he took him up to the highest point in the temple in Jerusalem. And he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. The scripture says God will order his angels to guard and protect you. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. But Jesus answered the devil, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Do you know what the devil did? He gave up. But he would come back and try again. It's as if the devil was saying, I'll be back. And when we're tempted, just as Jesus was tempted, what did Jesus do when he was tempted? And what could we? Well, Jesus turned to the Bible, to God's word, to answer the devil's temptation, and so can we. And that's a great plan. When we do what the Bible tells us to do, we're able to resist the devil's temptations. But be careful, just because you resist the devil one time doesn't mean you can let your guard down. You've always got to, as the scouts say, be prepared. Because remember, the tempter says, I'll be back. Well, let's pray, and then we'll sing again. Heavenly Father, over and over, we are tempted to do things we shouldn't do. And we pray this morning that you would help us to study your word, the Bible, so that we know how to resist the devil when he tries to lead us astray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The making and renewing of promises. So important. So important to remember the promises you've made. Do you know, I'm sure that Jesus in that wilderness situation could have just given up and just done what the devil wanted, but I'm sure he had promised his Father to be true and faithful to God the Father. And so he resisted the devil's temptations. He kept his promise. And throughout Scripture, we see people keeping their promises to God. And keeping a promise is so important. And it's good to renew promises, to be reminded of the things that we have promised to do. Do you know, all the people here in church, who are members of this church, have all promised to do things as well. They've promised to pray. They've promised to come together to worship. Promised to read their Bibles. Promised to give of themselves and give of their money and their talents for the work of the church, to make sure there's a Christian presence in this community. All of us make promises. Those of us who are married have made promises to be faithful to each other. So promises are so important. And you know, the promises that we make to God are important too. The Bible says that many people made promises to God and then forgot their promises. But it also tells us that some made promises to God and kept their promises and God blessed them. And God sent a word to encourage us. Jesus said that we should seek the kingdom of God first. And all the other things God wants us to have will be given to us. So let's sing that song. It's a song from the hymn book, 641. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, I wonder if I could have a couple of volunteers. Let's see. In fact, we're going to have six volunteers. I need a couple of the younger ones first. Who's the very youngest here, do you think? The rainbows. Would you like to come and help? How you come? And what are your names?
Louise.
And Ailey. Right. You come and stand over here. And let's get some of the older ones as well. I'm thinking some of the very older ones. You're all looking down just now. There's some older ones up the back. Maybe two of you. And let's see. I think we need to get some guides. Get one of the guides, maybe, and one of the scouts. Where's the scouts? One of you want to come out? Yeah? Come on. What's your name?
Barry.
Barry and?
Rory.
And you two are?
Lee.
Lee and Darren. Right. Good. Okay. We've got a good distribution of bodies over here. Maybe the four bigger ones. If you come over this side. And two younger ones over this side. Now, I've got something I want you to help me with. And don't worry, it's not anything silly or dangerous. Well, maybe a wee bit dangerous, but not anything silly. I wonder if you've ever done a tug of war before. Tug of war. So I thought you two could be one team, and you four could be the other team. Right, you know how to do this? You hold on and you try and tug. And here's the midway mark, right? And I'm going to give you two markers. And when I count one, two, three, on three, you start to gently pull and see if you can get your marker along here, and you see if you can get your one along here. Okay? One. You ready? One, two, three. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay, stop. Do you want to try that again? I don't think you got off to a very good start there. Right. Okay. Let's start again. Right. There's the markers. One, two, three. Oh, dear. Right. Thank you. Stop. What is wrong with that situation? What's wrong? Thank you very much. You can maybe just lay that down, just now. Stay there, though. What's wrong? Well, I thought they looked pretty strong. They're smaller and they're bigger. It's okay, so we had a big team against a small team. What else was wrong? Yeah.
It's not fair teams.
Why is it not fair teams?
Because it's
4-2. 4-2? Yeah, but you see, they were quite reluctant, and I didn't think they would pull very hard. 4-2 and big versus smaller. Don't worry, you'll soon be bigger as well. 4-2 and big versus small. And the big, strong team won, didn't they? Okay. Let's get the cubs and the brownies out to help. Come on. Cubs and brownies. Okay, right, get a hold of the rope, everybody, or hold of the person beside the rope.
This is not going to be marshmallow.
One, two, three. Oh, stop. Right, okay. Thank you very much. You can all go and sit down. Thank you very much. Now, that wasn't very fair the first time, was it? Not even the first two times. It wasn't fair because we had a big, strong team against a smaller, numerically smaller team as well. And then I asked the Cubs and the Brownies to come out and help. And what did you do? You all went where? Where did you all go?
Help the rainbows.
You went to help the rainbows. the smaller team. I didn't tell you which team to go and help. I just said, come out and help. And you all went to this side, didn't you? Why did you go to this side, all of you who came out to help? Because they were the littlest. Is that why you went over there as well? You went to the smallest team? Yeah. And was that fair? No, it wasn't very fair at all, was it? Because the scale of justice switched sides. This team were the stronger. It was unfair at first because this team were the stronger one. And all of a sudden, all of you were all over this side. And it was almost like it switched completely. And it still wasn't fair. It still wasn't very just. Well, that's sometimes, I'm afraid, what the world's a bit like. It's not very fair all the time. Not very just. And I was reading about the guides this year, because I think it's the guide centenary year this year. It is. And every year on the 22nd of February, the Girl Guides, Girl Scouts all around the world, they celebrate World Thinking Day. And it's on that day because it was the shared birthday of the founder of the Boy Scout movement, Lord Baden-Powell, and his wife Olive, who served as the World Chief Guide. And I was very interested to hear this year that the theme for World Thinking Day is Girls Worldwide Together saying, together we can end extreme poverty and hunger. Because, you know, hunger and poverty aren't fair, are they? If there's people who don't have enough to live on, enough food to eat, don't have enough to pay for schooling for their children, for health care, for someplace safe and warm and dry to live, that's not fair. It's unjust. And the Guides Thinking Day this year, together we can end extreme poverty and hunger. Now you may have seen this symbol on the corner of the screen in each of the other slides. It's on the order of service. What is this symbol about? What's it for? Yes. Yes, sometimes things from other countries have this symbol on it. Yep. Excellent answer. Excellent answer. Sure, others had that answer as well. It's a fair trade symbol, and it means that if you buy something with a fair trade symbol on it, the farmer, the people who produce the goods, it's not always food. Sometimes it's footballs or cotton t-shirts, things like that. But the farmers get paid a fair price, a consistent price, so that when the price of things goes up and down in the market, they get a fair, consistent price, and they're able to feed their families and have good housing and be able to educate their families. And that makes it fair, so that just as the fairness of the tug of war switched from one side, it could easily have switched back again if more people had come out on this side. That's what the prices of things like tea and coffee and bananas and cotton and sugar and all sorts of things do. And I've got some pictures here of lots of different fair trade stuff. There's wine, tea bags, fruit and nuts, all sorts of pasta, all sorts of things that are traded fairly. Even the bag is made with fair trade material to make the bag. And instead of the prices going from one side to the other and fluctuating and causing people all sorts of problems, the Fair Trade Foundation tries to even things out and make sure that people are paid a fair wage. And this is the start of Fair Trade Fortnight. So when we're thinking about things that are just or unjust, we can remember this fortnight. And maybe go to the supermarkets or the local shops and say, what have you got that's fair trade? What could I buy? And I ran out of coffee in the manse last night, so tomorrow we'll need to go to the shops and get some fair trade coffee and some other goods as well. But we can all do that, and that helps us to balance things out, because really the world is a very rich and bountiful place, but it's not always fair, and we need to do our wee bit to try and help it to be a bit more fair. We're going to hear a reading from the Bible now, and it's to do with that whole issue of fairness. Thank you. So we think about what is just and what is fair. We think about the first fruits, the first part of what we have, offering that to God as we're commanded in Scripture, sharing it with the poor and with the needy. And I suppose that Lent, this period of time we're going into, is a time where we often think about things that we consume, don't we? We think about, well, what do we do during Lent? What do we try to do during Lent? Let's get some ideas. Yeah. Give up something like chocolate, perhaps, yeah. Although you can buy fair trade chocolate, and that's okay to eat during Lent. We give up things, we traditionally give up things. Yeah, what were you going to say? Is it again?
You try harder at something.
You could try harder at something, that's right. You could try harder at something. And I suppose that Lent is a bit like a journey where we sometimes give up things that we know are maybe not so good for us, or we give up something we really like in order to focus on Jesus, on God, on other people. But we could also try harder to do things. And I thought, just to finish our time together this morning, we'd go on a journey, a kind of Lenten journey. And when you go on a journey, what do you see at the side of the road to help you on your journey sometimes?
You see some
signs. You see road signs, don't you, to help you. Well, I've brought along some road signs to help us think about this Lenten journey that we're beginning this week. We're going on a journey, and here's the first sign. What is it? Shout it out.
Stop.
Stop. Yeah, we stop. Well, what could that be about? Well, we could stop, as you said, we could stop eating things like chocolate. We stop at Lent. Lent's a time to stop and to have a think about the things we're doing, whether we're doing things that are just and fair, whether we're doing things that are good or not so good. It's a time to stop and consider where we are. So when we begin this Lent journey, we begin by stopping, by pausing, and thinking about some of the things that we do that we could maybe change or do differently. So there's the first sign, the sign to stop and give thanks. Give thanks for the good things that we have, and give thanks for the opportunity to share good things with other people. That's the first sign. Here's the next sign. I wonder what you think this sign is about. It's not a sign that we see terribly often in this country, but other countries quite often have signs like this one. What do you think that sign's about? Yeah.
Turn back.
Very good, uh-huh. Yeah. A U-turn, yeah. Well, it's about turning, isn't it? It's about changing. If you're going one direction, you're going along a road and you see that sign and there's a blockage in the road and it tells you to turn around and do a U-turn, that's what you do. You start going the opposite direction. You start going the opposite direction. And I was thinking about this sign because, you know, sometimes we get a bit upset with other people, don't we? And sometimes other people get upset with us and we hold grudges, and we need to, during Lent, as well as giving up chocolate, we need to give up these grudges that we hold against people. And we need to forgive. Because I suppose Easter, that Lent takes us to, is all about forgiveness, about God showing how much he loves us and how much he was prepared to pay the death of his son in order to forgive us. So going on a journey, we might see a sign telling us to do a U-turn, maybe to stop doing something and do something different, but maybe also to forgive. And that's an important thing to do during Lent. Think about how many people you could forgive and let that burden go during Lent. So there's two signs. Stop and do a turn and forgive. What else? What's that? Yeah. They're like traffic lights. They are traffic lights. Yeah. And what colours do we have on traffic lights? Yes.
Red, orange and green,
red and amber and green, red. What does red mean? It means?
Stop.
Well, we've thought about that already. What does the amber or the orange light mean?
Get ready.
get ready. Yeah, get ready. And Lent's a time of getting ready for Easter. So traffic lights are a great thing to help us to think about getting ready for Easter, and then eventually going maybe off in a new direction, going off in a different direction. So we're going on this journey, red, orange, green light, stop, get ready, and go. Abstain. Somebody said giving up chocolate. Well, getting ready sometimes means doing things differently or stopping doing some of the things that you're doing. So getting ready sometimes means stopping or abstaining from things. What's this one? Where would you see this? Where would you see this sign? Yeah. Do you know? Where might you see this one? Yeah. On a motorway? You might, just at the start of a motorway, you might see that. Yeah. If you're at a junction, any kind of junction. Now, what does it mean? What does it say? Give way to the person coming in the opposite direction. That's right. Going on a journey, you might see this give way sign. And I was thinking about this thing. Give way. What could this mean for the Lent journey in terms of being just and fair to other people? And, you know, just as we sometimes give up things, so too we can help other people. We could give away, give things away. And sometimes we do that during Lent. All of you, when you came in this morning, got a Lent calendar, a Count Your Blessings calendar. And it's got various suggestions for you to do each day during Lent. And sometimes it suggests giving away a few pence to charity or collecting a few pence for Christian Aid. Give away, and that's a good thing to do during Lent as well, to think of others, give away. Just as in the reading, people were to bring the first fruits of all the things they grew and give it to God, give it to the temple for distribution to the poor. So we give away during Lent as well. Here's another sign. Gosh, what's this one? Yeah. A big turn, bends on the road. Yeah, big turns on the road, doesn't it? If you see that sign, you know you need to, if you're in a car, the driver has to slow down because there's a big tight bend coming, a big tight turn. Well, I was thinking this one as well, but I was looking at this sign thinking, yeah, it's kind of like someone bending, and it's kind of like, it's pointing up the way, isn't it? And I wondered, what do we do when we bend and point up the way? Well, I show you. Watch, sometimes we do this. What might we do if we're kneeling with our hands like this? Praying, yeah. And I was looking at that sign thinking, that reminds us during Lent to pray. To pray for ourselves, but to pray for other people and to pray for help. So that sign reminds me to pray during Lent. And sometimes if you're using the Lent calendar that we've given you, there'll be things to think about. And maybe you could pray about them as well. Lift them before God in prayer. Okay. Going on a journey, you sometimes see that sign. What does that mean? It's not always pointing that direction, but what does it mean? Yeah. You can only go one way. You can't do a U-turn on that road. There won't be vehicles coming in the opposite direction. You can only go one way. And I was thinking, well, isn't that true during Lent? It's all about having faith. And not going our way, but going God's way. That's what Jesus did. From the temptation, after he was baptized, being tempted by the devil, he set his eyes on Jerusalem. He knew where he was to go, and he went that one way. And he had promised God to do that. And as we've renewed promises this time and last time we were together, these promises contain things that we promise to do. And Christians promise to have faith and to believe in God and to go God's way and not our way. That's why I've turned it up the way, because it's pointing to God, pointing heavenward. One way. And during Lent, we're reminded about that journey as well. And going one way and going the right way. Not doing things selfishly, but doing things that care for other people too. So going one way and showing faith by that. So there's road signs to help us on our Lenten journey. I hope you'll take your order of service and take your calendar home and each day read the part for that day. Perhaps do that to help you through this season of Lent. And if you are giving up chocolate, good luck. And if you're buying fair trade chocolate, I hope you enjoy it. Well, let's finish our time together, and we're going to return the colours as we sing our final hymn. It's hymn from Mission Praise, the big book, and it's the hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd. As we go, may this Lenten season call forth from us our best in seeking a closer walk with our Lord Jesus. And even now, let us celebrate the joy that is ours in the walk of faith that demands our all. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you evermore.